Praise the Lord.
Oh, okay.
I just forgot to put, you know, in Nigeria, when you are learning how to drive, I don't know here, you have this L that you put at the back of, at front of your car, so that people know that you are a learner. So I should have come with an L today on my shirt. But I believe the Lord has something for us. And thank you, Mark, for the prayers, and I believe that the Lord is going to reveal his word to us this morning. So as it is a tradition in this church that we ask, what did you pick from the reading? But I'm going to do a little bit slightly different thing. I'm going to ask a question, and the question is, how will you describe your faith or Christianity in a sentence or two? How will you, if someone just meet you and ask you, oh, you said you're a Christian. What's that about? What is Christianity? So I'd just like to hear your thought, yeah?
The answers are skipped.
Being able to put out Christianity to somebody. But because we are here and because we have a reading, so I'm going to also give a little perspective of that. So the topic was proclaim the good news. But I thought I would just make a little change and put it the gospel of love and truth. In fact, I wanted to say proclaiming the gospel of love and truth. And then I say, oh, maybe it might be too long. So I put the gospel of love and truth. In our reading today, the first reading from Romans, you know, I like Paul. I find him very, very an interesting man. He's one of those people that if you want to meet, I want to meet this person and see what is he like and be able to listen to him. I'm sure I'm not going to understand maybe half of what he's saying, because Paul is this person that, in my own view, if I have a court case, I want to call Paul to be my judge. Because the way he puts up things in the message, when he's writing a letter, he presents his argument step by step. He goes from before, and then he comes to the present and address the particular situation, and then talks about the coming, the future. So, and I also think that Paul is not one that is known to give a very short sermon. So pardon me if we spend 2 hours today, we are talking about the book of Romans. You know, at some point, Paul talked and talked, and somebody fell off from the window and died. So I said, wow, it must be a long sermon. So, but I'm very confident that nobody's going to fall off from the window as we are all seated. So that's a good news for me. So we'll look at two aspects. What is the gospel and why should we proclaim it? And then the second aspect is, how do we proclaim it? How do we proclaim this gospel? So starting with what is the gospel and why proclaim it? In the Romans reading, it starts with therefore. So in my understanding of English, when a sentence starts with therefore, it means something must have been said. It's coming from somewhere. That is not the beginning of the story. It's a continuation. So I went back and looked at from the beginning of Romans, Paul talked about how he's called to be a preacher. And then he talks about what it is that leads to that statement, therefore. He talks about the imperfection of man, how we as human are insufficient and weak and sinners. If you read from Romans 1, from 26 to 32, you will see where he talks about how we fail, how we rejected God as people, how we are incapable of living up to God's standard. And when it comes to chapter 3, verse 23, he said, for all. So it's not just some people. It's just not the people he's addressing, but everybody, for all have sinned. Right? So, and then at the end, he now talks about the good news. Though we are imperfect, though we are insufficient, and because God knows that we are imperfect, He did something about it. And when Max was given the where we confess and then prepare our hearts for today's worship, he said, we are all sinners. And we struggle with things, even if we don't want to. Because even Paul, as powerful, you know, as powerful a man of God he is, he also had his struggle. And if we read Romans 7:15, he said, what I want to do, I do not do. And what I don't want to do, it is that thing I do. So it's a constant struggle. You know, sometimes when you are in that situation, you want to beat yourself up. Why? But I think, as Paul put it, it's the flesh in us. It's our nature. For me personally, I tend to look at it in this way, that in this world, when you are living in this world, because we are living with humans, I used to hear some people say, me, I don't tolerate nonsense. I don't know whether that's a correct, in Nigeria we say, I don't tolerate nonsense. But I'm sorry to say, whether you want it, whether you ask for it, or you don't ask for it, nonsense will be given out to you. Because it's human. So, and the sooner we understand that, I think it will help us to be able to find it easy to forgive. Because sometimes, when some people do, I know some people do things, hurt us intentionally. But you will find out that there are other people, when you have, after you settle everything, when you have a fight, you settle, you discover that actually what he didn't even mean to hurt you. So we humans, it's in our nature to fall out, to do wrong. And that Paul gave us from the beginning of Romans. And even Jesus, when he was giving a sermon, you know, in Matthew, he talked about the children to come into the kingdom of God, accepting the children into the kingdom. And then he talked about, he addresses a rich man. The rich man said, I've done everything, I've kept everything. And then he told him, go and sell all your possession and give to the poor. And the man walked sadly. And then his disciples, people around, asked him, wow. And he said, it's hard for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, just like it is hard for the camel to go through the eye of the needle. And then everybody was amazed and then asked, "Then, Lord, how possible? Is it possible that can anyone be saved? If it's such a difficult, when you look at being, you know, we are called to be like Christ." And then people asked him, is it then possible that anybody can be saved? And Christ said something. He said, with man, it is not possible. With God, all things are possible. And I think, dear, what he was referring to is that is why I'm here. Because you cannot live up to that standard. That is why I come. And then he went on in the message we read from Paul's letter to the Romans. I don't know if it's there. He said, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the gospel. To me, this is Christianity. That God, in his love and through the sacrifice of Jesus, redeem us and sees us as righteous, period. It's not because of what we do. It's not because of who we are. It's not because what we're supposed to do. But just like that, freely, just given to you freely. Isn't that wonderful? Just without you doing anything, you're given this salvation. And with this salvation, what it comes with, if we go on reading, is it comes with peace. We have peace with God. And we have peace in God. With this redemption comes peace. And also we have this access to his kingdom. So we can now be co-heirs with Christ in the kingdom of God. Not because of what we have done, but because of what God has done. And then also, we have hope. And he said, this hope does not put us to shame. You know, you can imagine you just have you're waiting for your salary. Maybe those of us here would not understand, but in Nigeria, and you're waiting for a salary, and you take credit, your loan or something, and you are waiting for it because, oh, I'm going to receive, and then all of a sudden there was strike, the government did not pay. You know, it's a shame how you meet the person. You say, come tomorrow morning, I'm going to give you. But that is not how our Christianity is. It's sure. And this hope does not put us to shame. You know, because when you talk about Christianity to many, they look at it as, you know, it's foolishness. It's like it's foolishness. You don't. How do you know that heaven is even there? How can you be so sure? This is the life you have. Just live this life. You're not sure. But we, as Christians, we have hope. And we know that, as Paul said, this hope will not at the end set and somebody will tell you, I told you. No. It's sure. And this hope will not and does not and will never put us to shame. And then also we have the pouring out of his love through the Holy Spirit. And because of all this that Christ have done to us, for us, we can then praise God as we saw in the Psalms. I will not go ahead to read, but that's what the Psalm is all about. Now that we know that we have this relationship, this salvation through Christ, what's the next thing? The next thing that God calls us to is to share. Because when you have something that is precious, if you believe it to be precious, I think the first thing you want to do is to share it with the people you love. And that is why, if you look at the key driving force for the coming of Christ, for his dying, and for him asking us to preach the gospel, is love. In the Matthew reading, he said, when he looked at them, what did he do? He had compassion on them. If he saw them, he saw these people really, something is missing. I don't know whether you've seen around you, but I know there are many people around. Sometimes when you look, you see people that have lost hope, people that have lost purpose in life, people that are just not dying, but they are not living. So my question is, do you have compassion for these people? And do you truly believe that through Christ, these people can find purpose? So now the next thing we address, it's how do we then proclaim the gospel? So I've been able to put on three ways in which we can proclaim the gospel. We can either do it through the word, through our deed, and also through prayers. Now, through the word, in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, it said, how then can they call on the name, on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So we need to go out and speak. I know it's not easy. It doesn't mean you just, well, you can do that if you are led by the Holy Spirit. Just walk, bump into people, and then you start, do you believe in Christ? Okay, I bring good news. No. But I believe that when you look inwardly, God gives opportunity. And if you pay attention, you could see that there's one moment or the other where God will create an opportunity for you to share the good news of Christ. But the problem is sometimes we are very ashamed. Sometimes we're shy, we're scared. But just a little courage. Because it's not your word. It's God who will speak through you. And when sharing the gospel, it shouldn't be judging, you know, you are a sinner. Oh, you're going to die. No. That's just not how the gospel is supposed to be preached, because we are not called to judge. And it's also not about winning an argument. You know, I tell there are people that are very, very, very interested in arguing with you about Christianity. Not because they want to, you know, to know more, but because they want to prove you wrong. Now, the thing about argument is that you can start on a very right footing, but when it gets tough, before you know it, you get angry and you say some things that you regret, and then the person goes away and says, oh, so that's how you behave as Christians. So it's not about argument, it's not about winning an argument, but it's just about, you know, sharing the good news. And it's also not about convincing, like a salesman, you know, oh, do you have a vacuum cleaner? I do have. Which one do you have? This model. Oh, you need to try this new model. Say, but I don't need it. And the salesman tried to, I'm sorry if you're a salesman in this place. I'm not attacking you. But you know, a salesman, they said, a good salesman sells ice to the Eskimo. So he sells what you don't even need. So, but that's not Christianity. It's not about convincing. And it's not about just seeing an immediate response when you say it. But that's why many of us, we just want to, what I said, did he take it? No, it's not about that. You don't know when the person will come to Christ. That's not your duty, but the thing is that you share the good news. It is the Holy Spirit that does the conversion. Like, you remember when Jesus Christ asked his disciple, who do you think I am? What do people say I am? And then Simon Peter said something very, very interesting. He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to him, this is not revealed to you by what? By human, but by my Father. So it's not us that, you can see that we are powerless to speak to the heart of people. We can only do our part. It is the Holy Spirit that does it. And we can also look in Corinthians, when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, said, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So I don't know whether you are the Holy Spirit, but I know I'm not. So just try and give the message and leave it as it is. The Holy Spirit will do its work. Now, in the gospel, we should also be aware. In some places, it said, be careful that not all of you are teachers, because you who are teachers will even be judged more strictly. So you don't have to twist words, just say the gospel as it is. And in Paul's letter, he said something. He said, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. That is in 1 Corinthians 1:23. And then in Galatians, he admonished the people not to drift away from the gospel. Don't change it. He said, I am astonished that, if you can find that in Galatians chapter 1 from 6 to 8, I will read here. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's cause. So there's just one gospel. It's not complicated as it is, as many of us have shared this morning. And as parents, I know my mom, when I was growing up, she always sent me to send us to Sunday school. But I realized that until we, at some age, she has never for once, like, put us down and said, this is why I'm telling you to go to church. I don't know whether it's the same with you parents, but I think as parents, you need to tell the children, we're going to church. Why are we going to church? Start from there. You're called to preach the gospel. Start from your children, from your family. Tell them about the good news. Why you are coming to church? What is it that you are doing in church? Then, to move on, the next thing we'll look at is preaching the gospel through deed. Now, like I said, it's not for us to judge people, but you'll be I don't know. It's unfortunate or it's fortunate, I don't know. But it doesn't mean that people don't judge us as Christians. Just imagine you with a caller, a pastor, in the tram, and then he didn't, you know, validate the ticket or something like that. And when the controller are checking, he dodged and this thing. In fact, if you're not careful, the next thing you will see him on social media. You will see it will be trending. But if anybody else does it, nobody cares. It's like a normal thing. But as a Christian, in Hebrews 12, it said, we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. Therefore, you know, try to get away from all the sins that easily entangles. So that is, I don't know, is it fortunate or unfortunate thing? But that's the thing about Christianity. The moment when you said you are a Christian, it's like the whole world is watching you. So we must be careful the way we live our lives. That does not mean that we will not fail. We're bound to fail. But I believe God will help us through it. And it doesn't mean that we should be eye service. I don't know whether it's an English word. Eye service? Yeah, I don't know. In English, I know the Nigerian people, you understand when we say eye service, right? It's our Nigerian English. I don't know. It means just doing things for show off, for people to, you know, not being truly who you are, just showing off to people, just trying to be good in the eyes of people, just to gain people's approval. That does not mean that is what we are supposed to do. But we are just supposed to live our life trusting God. And in Peter, God said, he has given us all that we need to live a godly life. So it's a journey. We might fail, but it's all right. And we are also called to do good to all people. As we try to live a godly life, we also do good to people. And we love people. That's it. We are called to love. And the trick I see, especially in these days, that it is used against the Christian, it's this issue of love one another, love everybody. You know, but I believe that love doesn't mean not rebuking or not telling the truth. Christ loved us. In fact, he died for us. But if you look at Christ, he rebuked people. But that doesn't mean that he hated them. So we welcome, as Christians, you welcome every person. You welcome the sinner, but not the sin. You welcome everybody. You walk with people. You relate with people. We relate with everybody. People that you might think they are sinners. Okay, you relate with them, but you don't join them in sin. If you look at Christ, he welcomed all sinners. People say, oh, what kind of man is, what kind of prophet is he? He eats with sinners. He goes to sinners' house, this and that. But Christ did all that without participating, without joining them in sinning with them. Because when you love somebody, you want to prevent him from harm. You want him to have something good. So when you love somebody, you correct also. You rebuke also when you have to. And you say the truth. That really matters. One of the things that I notice here in France is that when a parent is with a child and is about to cross the traffic, you can never see them crossing on red, at least for the people that I've seen. They wait for the green, even if there's nobody, even if there's no car. They wait until there's the green light before they cross. And I thought that is amazing. But when they are alone, if there's no car, they can cross on red. And I find that amazing. It's because what? They are teaching the child something. Now, as parents, you might not know, or you might know, and choose not to pay attention. The children, I don't have a child, but I believe that children learn more by watching. So be careful what you do. Sometimes you might be coming to church late, for example. I'm sorry, I'm not judging. But to you, it might not be a big deal. But your child, To him, he will look at it as it's a normal way. You can go to church late. It's not a big deal. You do some things just thinking it's okay, but be careful. Your children are watching you and they learn from you. So that's how you also preach the gospel, by being very good examples. And then finally, through prayers. You pray, because there are places that your word, your deed cannot reach, but your prayers can reach. And even Christ said in Matthew, where we read, he said, pray that the Lord send people to this field of harvest, ready to be harvested. Now I know, I said finally, but it's not finally. You know, somebody preached and he said, finally. He said, on the last note, in conclusion, before I finish. Sorry. The good news about the sermon is it always comes to an end. So there's always a challenge in all this. It's like recently when I was applying for a job, one thing that I noticed that I haven't even noticed before is that at the end you will see risks. They tell you the risks of the job you are applying for. And they'll tell you what is involved. And so also Christ, when he called us to preach the gospel, he also told us the risks of the job. I think it would be naive to think that there's no risks attached to it. As most of us have known, people have been killed from the apostles. Up to this day, people are still being killed and persecuted because of the word. So Christ said, if we go on the further reading of Matthew, from verse 10, from chapter 10, where we read, from verse 16 to 27. In verse 16, he said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. And it goes on and said, brothers will rise against brothers, parents against, you know, children against parents, and so on. All the dangers are there. If you go, you can read further from where we stop. If you continue, you'll see all that. But then there is a comfort in it. He said, do not be afraid. That is in verse 28 of Matthew 10. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet, not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. That is the comfort. Don't be afraid. No matter the challenges, I know if you look today, you'll find out that it is becoming more and more difficult to speak about Christ. I believe maybe in how many years before in France, you can talk to Christ anywhere, about Christ anywhere, but it's different now. In some way, it's a good thing, but also, it's also limiting. And in some places, you can't even talk about Christ at any level to anybody. It's more and more challenging. But the comfort we have is that Christ is with us. That is why he said, when you are brought before kings, do not be afraid of what to say. He's our defender. He will be with you, and he will guide us. Just trust in the Lord, and just do your part. What we are called on to do. Just to summarize, we are called on to just say the gospel, to live by the gospel as examples, and also to pray that the gospel reach people we cannot reach. So in conclusion, this is the real conclusion. Just a passage from Matthew 10, 32 and 33. It says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And then in Romans 1:16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes.